Welcome back to Hero Talk with Talix and Trev. I'm Talix.
And I'm Trev.
And today, we are here for Mortal Kombat! Alright, so now we're jumping off into our Made You Smile segment. So what's something that happened this week that, in general, made you smile?
Well, I got to hang out with my Nana and my uncle. And we also had some ice cream, so I thought that was good.
Yeah, I had a pretty good week, too, you know, just kind of going and getting to relax a little bit, you know, hanging out with family and stuff like that. That was really good, and so that, in general, made me smile to have some relaxation time. All right, Trev, so do you have a joke?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
What did Scorpion say when he got punched?
I don't know. What?
It stung.
That's okay. I like that one. What do you call a ninja that dropped his hoagie?
What?
Sub-Zero. Normally we do our favorite lines in this one, but I can't think of any just like one particular just line that I thought was just like super great. But I really liked Kano's, like, characterization in this movie. So, like, he was, like, dropping so many one-liners. It was hilarious. Like, he called Liu Kang Magic Mike. And he said, all right, no more of the Harry Potter mess. And he called Raiden Gandalf before he got hit by lightning. So, it was a lot of different lines that was really funny. But nothing that I was just the one. So, who do you think was the MVP in this movie?
I think Sonya Blade.
Okay, how's that?
Because she was the only person who didn't get up and give up at one point in time. She also was the one who always made sure that everyone kept going, as well as kept trying to fight even though she didn't have a mark, or at least in the beginning.
Yeah, that's really a good through line throughout the movie to be able to identify that that's what she did. So that's a good one. I would say on the opposite of Sonya Blade, Kano is the MVP. Now, first off, he knew where Raiden's temple was. Second off, he took out Reptile. Third off, he figured out how to use his Hakan, and so it really kind of helped everybody figure out what they needed to do and stuff like that. So I figured that him, even though Kano being Kano, he's going to go to where whoever pays him the most money. So that's where I thought he was the MVP in that one. All right, so who had the best costume then?
I'm thinking it was Scorpion.
I was going to say Scorpion as well. So we kind of bounce off each other with this one. Now, my favorite character, of course, is Sub-Zero in Mortal Kombat. But Scorpion, his costume was super awesome with the mask and then like the yellow hoodie that was over the top and everything like that. And I think that the costuming did a real good design job on a lot of this stuff, because with Sonya Blade, her costume, even though it was like a real simple costume, it still had like a lot of hints from her earlier video game adaptations and stuff like that. And then even in the first fight where Sub-Zero and Scorpion weren't actually Sub-Zero and Scorpion yet, they still had on like the blue and the yellow kind of motif to kind of like help them along with looking like their characters and stuff like that. So, but yeah, in-game Scorpion, that was an awesome, awesome costume.
So now it's time to pick our favorite settings. Talix, do you have any?
Yeah, my favorite setting was I have one, and then I have one that's a secondary. So I'm gonna say my first one, then I'm gonna let you go, then I'm talk about the secondary one. So my first one was, it was a subtle nod to the bridge in Mortal Kombat 2, but it's where Jax and Rico were fighting on the bridge. And it was like the little fire sticks that sit on the side of the stuff. And it's like a pit of like spikes at the bottom, which calls out to Mortal Kombat 2. If you knock the dude, you uppercut him off the side of the thing, he'll fall into the spikes in the pit. So that was a really cool callback, and especially a doubly cool callback because that's the first time you see Jax is in Mortal Kombat 2. So that was my favorite setting. What about you?
My favorite setting was definitely the temple. It had vegetation everywhere, and it just looked like a big, peaceful, happy place to train.
You know, I like that. I like that. That kind of feels like if we're talking about like other shows that we've looked at before, like in Avatar, I think wasn't the Sky Nomad Temple kind of like that as well?
Yep.
So yeah, that was a pretty cool one. And my secondary one was the cage, because it's like you see the cage in multiple situations where they do callbacks to it. So it's like the first time you see the cage scene is where he's fighting the other guy in the middle of, in, you know, for the fight or whatever. And then the second time the cage scene that you see it is where he is fighting Sub-Zero. And so it's just kind of like just bringing back the same stage, but with different kind of looks to it. And then, of course, with Sub-Zero freezing everything, anytime Sub-Zero just froze the whole area, that was a pretty awesome setting. All right, so now for our favorite scenes. What about you, Trev?
My favorite scene was when we were going through Outworlds and we saw the giant, and there were a whole bunch of different people everywhere, and the just mountains were everywhere, and then the camera started to spin around the pit of just everything.
Okay. That was a pretty cool scene. Because it was kind of like setting the table for like Shang Tsung and stuff like that. So yeah, that was a pretty cool one. I think in my favorite scene was when Scorpion was fighting Sub-Zero at the end. Like, that fight was so awesome, because especially with Sub-Zero, they did so many moves. Like, they did the ice clone. They did him making the wall to throw you through. He did the ice ball throw. He did so many. He turned Scorpion's blood into a spike to stab him with. It was just like they did so many things from the show, I mean from the game. It was just awesome. That was really an awesome scene.
Welcome to Elderberry Tales. Grab your favorite pillow and a curious heart. It's time for a story. Elderberry Tales is a storytelling podcast featuring inspiring and engaging stories for kids. Ancient wisdom, timeless tales, and contemporary heroes. Connect with us on Facebook and Instagram, and listen on your favorite podcast player.
Now it's time to talk about things that don't make no sense. Talix, do you have anything?
Yeah, the thing to me is that doesn't make any sense was normally whenever we're talking about like Sonya Blade and Jackson, they're being special forces and stuff like that, they usually have like the military backup in pretty much all of their different situations. But this kind of time, they were just kind of like on their own. And I don't know if it was a Michael Jackson call out because they had to go to Gary, Indiana, which is just like, why would you have to go to this one weird place? Like, why is that place, you know, special? So I just thought that was that like it didn't make any sense normally. What about you?
Well, just like when you're thinking about Sonya, she doesn't have the mark. She just went through the military training. Mm-hmm. And she's fighting with these demon people with marks and these dragons from Outworld. And she's alive and kicking. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just a little confused
about how she was able to kind of make it through that. Like, yeah, because at the beginning they did say that like if you didn't have the powers, you couldn't beat nobody else with a power. Right? But that also doesn't make sense because that's how Jax got his power. Like, cause at first he was like, they was tracking somebody, and then he got the power by defeating somebody else.
As well as that's how,
yeah, that's how Kano got his, right?
Yep.
Alright, so now it's time for the funny scene. So what was something funny that you saw in this movie?
Something funny I saw in the movie was that it's just like, Kano always knew what he was talking about, but at the same time, he never knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, Yeah, that was funny. Like, he instantly figured out, hey, everybody gets superpowers? Okay. And then he was like, oh, wait. So everybody doesn't get the same superpower. It's just kind of like a box of chocolates. You just don't know what you're going to get, you know? So, yeah, that was funny. And then it was funny that he got his power because he was mad because he couldn't get an egg roll. Like, it was an egg roll, man. Why are you so mad?
And then right after that, it's just like, no, I'm not mad. I'm happy, I got laser eyes, and I'm gonna get an egg roll.
Yeah, that was funny.
Okay. So, now, we're talking about things we thought were smart. Now, something I think that was smart is how they had the blade that they were using to dig the garden there the entire time, so when Scorpion came to go get it, it wasn't just there out of nowhere. We've seen it before, and we knew it was there. As well as we had the rope, and so he was just throwing it. And so then we knew that there was some reason for him to have that chain and that blade, and so that made sense.
Right. And then a good thing, and a thing that they don't really, like, explain, but it's part of kind of like Mortal Kombat lore, is that the Shirai Ryu, as well as the Lin Kuei, which is Shirai Ryu, were Scorpion's people, were people that were like great ninjas and stuff like that. And so they all were good, but it was just so that the Lin Kuei were the ones that kind of came in and took them out, because they were usually like mercenaries that did other stuff. So that definitely was smart, setting stuff up. I thought it was really smart that they set stuff up because they wanted to do it with a they used different characters, like Natara, that was down-the-line characters that only showed up in, like, maybe one Mortal Kombat game, to where it's like, okay, we're going to bring this one character in, and they're going to be able to get taken out, and it's not really going to affect the story, because they were just one of those one-off characters as well. And I thought it was pretty good that they also brought in a new character with Cole, because it's like, I know some people probably going to get upset because it's not like a basic Mortal Kombat character, but Mortal Kombat brings in characters all the time that you only see in one game and then they go away. Like Rico, for instance. Like, you don't see Rico all that often. So it was pretty cool to be able to bring in characters that you can use fatalities on, that is not a situation where you're losing a major character that's a tentpole. All right, so what's something from the movie that you feel like you need?
I feel like I need the combat skills. Not for any reason in particular, but just because they're cool. I don't need no fire, I don't need no laser eyes, no magic body shield. No, I just need the fighting abilities. It's like, one day I want to wake up, and then I throw a ball in the air, and then my leg just kicks it out of nowhere. That's what I want to happen.
Well, then, you can do that by just practicing.
Yeah, but I'm a little lazy.
Yeah, at times. The thing that I feel like I want to have, that I think I need, is the, I want the masks from both Sub-Zero and Scorpion. I think both their masks are awesome, and I want both of those to be kind of like something I hang up in my office area. So that's something I think is awesome. All right, so now it's time for debate this. So I guess the debate we're going to have this week is, could Sub-Zero have beat Scorpion in a 1-on-1, or Cole in a 1-on-1? Because they ended up doing a 2-on-1. So would Sub-Zero have been the winner had it been an individual 1-on-1 fight? What do you think?
Well, I think, well, it depends on how it went. Because Sub-Zero started fighting Cole, and then, you know, he was about to beat Cole. So in that situation, probably would have won. Or if it were to come in where Scorpion came in and Cole were to stay on the sidelines, then it might have been a situation where Sub-Zero could have actually beaten either one of them. So I'm thinking Scorpion could have won.
I mean,
not Scorpion, but Sub-Zero.
You know, I'm a diehard Sub-Zero fan, but I think that either Cole or Scorpion could have won this fight. Now, they did not really go into a lot of some of the stuff that Scorpion can do. They gave him, like, some of his basic techniques and stuff like that, but the Scorpion can do a lot of different stuff, especially, like, with fire augmentation, teleport, and different stuff like that. So, he's got a whole bevy of different skills that he could use. And then with Cole, I think Cole's power is essentially, like, kind of like, ultimate armor, because I think it was, they said something about it in the beginning of the movie where they were talking about, like, oh, you're great at offense, but what about your defense? And then with his armor, he doesn't really have to worry about defense. He can just keep on attacking with offense. And he saw how Sub-Zero, even when he tried to freeze him, couldn't just automatically just freeze through him. So I think that in given time, but I think that also, like, a lot of, like, both Sub-Zero, I mean, not Sub-Zero, but Cole, and I think both Cole and Scorpion kind of being, coming into their powers newly, because I think that's the first time Scorpion was able to get out of the Netherrealm. And so with them coming into their power newly, they weren't able to fully use their different powers and stuff like that. So I think that given time, like, Sub-Zero had centuries to practice and get better at his stuff. You know, he's able to break, like, make it rain and drop snow and all kinds of other stuff going on. So he's had a lot of time. So if we had other people have a little bit more training in time, I think it could have been a different situation. Now, as it were, I kind of think the way you said it was just like that Sub-Zero just had the upper hand. He was going to probably take it out. But I think given time, the other two could do it.
I guess so. But then, would there really be a case where it was given time? Because the more time that they got to practice would be more time Sub-Zero got to practice as well.
Yeah, he would have it. He would have it, you know, ahead of time. But I think the Sub-Zero also, with as much as he uses his ice powers, gets over-reliant on them. And I think that that could be a weakness to be exploited, to where he, like, just like how Cole got him with the hand-to-hand combat with the stab, like, I think him relying on all of his ice powers made him a little bit weak, to where he wasn't able to focus on just regular fighting and combat.
Another thing about Cole, he just kept taking it with the armor, but I think that maybe one day that armor won't be strong enough to hold something, and when that comes, I'm sure that Sub-Zero would be the one to, you know, break that armor.
Well, I mean, he almost kind of did. Like, had it not been for Scorpion showing up, then, yeah, it might have gone bad at that moment. So, you might be on top on this one. Okay, so a thread that I saw in the movie was just a lot of shout-outs to the Mortal Kombat video games, and that was really something that I really liked, because I was able to sit there and point out different stuff. Like, for instance, when Kano and Liu Kang were fighting in the pit, and Liu Kang kept doing the low kick sweep. Like, that's what something like sometimes he was calling, like, do you do any other moves? Like, sometimes when you're fighting against other people, they find the one move that works. And, like, the leg sweep was a move that really worked on a lot of people. And it's just like, you just use the leg sweep, leg sweep, leg sweep. But if you're talking about, like, Shang, it wouldn't work on Shang Tsung, because in the first Mortal Kombat game, Shang Tsung was floating. So if you leg sweep, it would just go under him and wouldn't do anything. So it was just, like, interesting, just interesting callbacks. And same thing with Goro, was just, like, when he got uppercutted, he didn't, like, fly back like other people catch when they get caught with the uppercut. So the thread of just kind of, like, using, like, different tropes from the video games and stuff like that, and different call-outs, like I said earlier, with the pit setup. And also a lot of background information. They did a shout out to Katana with her fan in the background. They had a shout out to Nightwolf with him being on the wall of, you know, Sonya Blade's informational thing. Even Scorpion was on the wall of Sonya's informational thing. They had Motaro. He was in one of the pictures that was on the wall. They had a whole bunch of other things. I didn't catch everything. They showed they definitely showed Shao Kahn when you were talking about, like, the big dude that was in the thing with the Warhammer. Shao Kahn was, his mural was there. And it was just so many different call-outs to the different movies and stuff like that. And so it was really interesting and exciting to see. And also calling out to all the different fatalities, like Jax's head clap, or Sonya's rings of death, or Liu Kang with the fire dragon and stuff like that. Like, just awesome. Kano's heart rip, all that stuff was really a great callback. And I really love to see all that stuff kind of be implemented into a game and stuff like that, or a movie. Okay, so what's something that you will upgrade in this movie?
I probably update Sub-Zero's outfit a little bit, because it looked good, but it looked flimsy around the shoulders, and I was thinking that it could maybe look a little bit more like Scorpion's and stay with the blue. But other than that, I think the movie was great overall.
Okay. The only upgrade, I think, and this is kind of like a callback to earlier when I was talking about, like, Sonya Blade stuff, is I think that they probably would have done, it would have been a cooler storyline for the Special Forces to have, like, Sonya and Jax, like, them to have backup for the Special Forces. So that way they'd at least kind of, like, seem like they have some resources and stuff. But I think it was a smart idea for them to kind of use it as to use the Haka as a coverall for them to be able to get powers. Like, okay, you just get your powers in Mortal Kombat. It's not just like, okay, whatever the situation is, because they never really explained how people have superpowers in Mortal Kombat. And so they did a good job of saying, okay, it's just whatever your spirit is, that's what you get, you know? And so I think that that's something that was a good thing. And so I think that if they would have had backup for the army or special forces, then it would have been a kind of like a more fleshed out world, you know what I'm saying? It would have explained how they got a plane and all that stuff to get to Raiden's temple and stuff, you know? All right, so if we're rating this on a scale of 0 to 5 dragon tattoos, what do you give Mortal Kombat?
Closest to a 5 I can give it without giving it a 5.
So you say 4?
Guess so.
4 out of 5. I think I gave it a 4 out of 5, because I think that it was a really cool take to go in a different direction. I think it was cool to introduce new characters and stuff like that. And then, of course, I'm just here to see the you play Mortal Kombat to see the fatalities. You got to see fatalities. You got to see all the different things going on and stuff like that. So I gave it a 4. I really enjoyed it, and I can't wait to see the next one coming up. And that's all that they had on. When this, we'll kind of go into the fun facts part of it, is that they had Johnny Cage being highlighted as the next person to coming into the movie and stuff like that. So I'm kind of interested to see what Johnny Cage looks like. And it's also interesting because they haven't actually even started the Mortal Kombat tournament. Like, this is just like the preliminary area, just them just trying to get the combat tournament set up. So I'm really excited to see how that kind of unfolds. And, you know, and I'm really excited because I was really excited because Jax got a lot of background, because in the past, Jax didn't get a lot of shine in the different movies and stuff like that. So he got a lot of development. He was well done, as well as Sonya Blade didn't end up being a damsel in distress. And you'll understand what I'm talking about when we do another review. But in this one, she was fully actualized and didn't need to be saved by nobody. She actually came in and saved somebody else. So that was awesome situation for that. So far as news, well, as I might have kind of alluded to a minute ago, we're definitely going to be doing more Mortal Kombat movies. So we're going to be looking out for the next Mortal Kombat movie, which was the one from 1995, I believe. We're also going to try to look at Armageddon and some of the animated Mortal Kombat movies. So we're going to be doing some of those things coming up. Also, be on the lookout, we're going to be finishing up the Falcon and the Winter Soldier as well. And we're going to be putting that episode out sometime soon as well.
Might be doing WandaVision as well.
Yes, definitely we could be looking at WandaVision as well. So we got a couple of things that we got coming up that we're really excited about putting out. And we just are happy that you're here with us. I know we've been away. Wow, I couldn't speak right then. I know we've been away for a while, but we're back and we're back at it again. And we're excited to keep bringing you guys content. So hit us up. We are in our Gmail at herotalktt@gmail.com. Look us up on Twitter at Hero Talk 1, which is just Hero Talk with the number 1 at the end of it. Hit us up on our Instagram, Hero Talk TT. And hit us up on our Facebook, Hero Talk with Talix and Trev. Send us a message. Give us a like, share, review. Go to iTunes. Give us a 5-star review. Let us know that you love us. Check out our Teespring store. All the different links are in the description. I'll have those set out for you. And as always, thank you for being here, because this has been Hero Talk with Talix and Trev. I'm Talix.
And I'm Trev.
Because when there's a hero,
we talk.
See ya. Finish him.
Well, howdy. This podcast is a proud member of the PodCon Go Network. PodCon Go. Family-friendly shows that are fun for everyone.